this topic in particular is kind of is not as structured as, say, like a career topic or a sport topic where I could just ask you, what is photography? How do you do it? And that's it, right? It's more like everybody takes pictures. And what I mean, like, one of the questions I have for you is, would you consider anything that anybody takes photography? Or are you thinking, when you think about photography, do you think about it as more like a professional thing? I didn't know that at all. So, hi everyone. Today I have with me Rondell Charles. I met Rondell, I want to say, like right before COVID, because we have a mutual friend and we went to like a house lime, a get together. Lime is what we say in Trinidad, and Rondell is also from Trinidad, and we were there just hanging out. I think that is where I found out that he does photography. Maybe it was after I started following him on Instagram. And I will tag his Instagram somewhere because he has some pretty awesome pictures and videos and stuff you could look at. But when I started this podcast, I knew that I wanted him to come and talk to us about something that he clearly loves, but also does for money. So I think he has a good view of like both aspects of it. So Rondell, could I call you Ron? Is that okay?
Totally fine.
Okay. So Ron, can you introduce yourself to our listeners, and then we'll jump straight in.
Hey everyone, my name is Rondell Charles. I'm a photographer, videographer, graphic designer, creative director, whatever. I'm a jack of all trades, wearing many hats. I'm from, like Samantha said, I'm from Trinidad and Tobago as well. Probably repping the red, white, and black. And yeah, it's really good to be here.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. One of the things about photography, I mean, everybody knows what photography is, right? I don't think there's anyone in the world that has not taken a picture. Maybe some really small tribes or indigenous communities may have never done it, but most people who are listening to this episode would have probably seen a picture, take a picture, been in a picture. So I feel like we don't necessarily need to define what photography is, right? Unless you think that there is a definition for it.
Yeah, there actually is a definition for it, and it's something that pretty much goes over people's heads sometimes because, they have cameras. Everyone has access to cameras, like your phone has one, and you might have a disposable camera, or you might know someone with a professional camera, but you may not understand how it operates and how it works and how the process of taking a picture, what goes on in the intricate thing. Is essentially using light to create an image. And that's all it is in its simplest form.
I like that. I really wasn't expecting a definition, so I like that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And it's interesting because that's how, if you go back to the origins of it, like that's how the first originators of photography, when they were figuring it out, it was just, finding out how light works and, using things in like physics, like, how refraction works and reflection, using those concepts in order to create images. So like the first camera was literally a hole in a wall that when light came through the hole, it refracted or reflected. Don't quote me on that. It's one of the two. And it was able to shine the picture of the outside on the wall on the inside of the room. And that's how the image was produced. And, throughout the years, they built upon those concepts and they started making them. And, if first it was a room and then it was a box and then it was, it started coming down in form factor until it became the cameras that we have today. And during that time, they also had to think of ways that they would be able to record those pictures because light coming through, shining on the wall, there's no way to make that a permanent thing. So they had to figure that out as well. So that all of those processes and things that were what people like Louis Daguerre, I'm butchering his name, but
we'll put a note somewhere for them.
But he, you know, was one of the earlier pioneers to kind of figure out how to, you know, create an image that didn't fade after a certain amount of time. And then it came down to, you know, people producing film, and, you know, the first Kodak cameras came out, and then it just went on and on from there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you think about the origins of it, and you think about, like, you know, what it takes to produce an image in its simplest form, it's literally just light.
Okay, so that is very interesting, right? Like, some of those things I didn't know at all. I knew about the box that they used to, like, somebody would put their head in and, like, you know, take the picture and stuff like that. And I know that there is, like, this little thing, sometimes you do it in science class, where you take a fruit, like an orange peel or orange or something, and you put, like, a little hole, and, you know, there's a paper, and you, something happens. So I know there's those things. But that was very interesting. So thanks for sharing a little bit about, you know, how it got to this point. One of the things you mentioned in there is that, you know, everybody has access to cameras, right? Would you say that any person, I was going to say Tom, Dick, and Harry, any person who is taking a photo, and that action that they take, would you say that is photography, or do you feel like it goes a little beyond that?
So I would say there is a little bit more that goes into it. You know, obviously with any practice, there are, you know, the originators may have come up with, like, certain rules that would govern, you know, what this thing is. Essentially, it's art, and, you know, art is this very obscure thing that could be anything. Like, you know, you can tell me that this plant behind me is art, you know. Mm-hmm. But then when you go into what they consider making an image, not just taking a picture, but making an image, there's certain things that you need to take into account. So, you know, the composition, the lines, the depth, you know, what the subject of the picture is. So there's a certain, there's like certain things that you have to look for once you start intentionally taking an image. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where the differentiation is. It's like, am I going into this intentionally, or am I just taking my camera out and just snap?
Okay. So selfie, not so much taking a picture of a nice tree, maybe.
You know, it depends, because, you know, some people, there are people that take selfies with intention out here, and they consider everything from how the background looks to how they're, you know, not just their appearance, but, like, the outfit that goes along with it. Is my outfit a complementary color to the surroundings around me? Like, am I able to make this into a graphic sort of photo once it's taken? Is there some value that other people can appreciate from it after it's done, you know, instead of just, you know, taking a picture and putting it up high and, you know, taking it that way? So I don't know. I think, and then if you go further, there are actual people that are self-portrait artists. You know, I think there are differences in terms of the intentionality. I think above all, intentionality is going to be the thing that governs everything.
Okay. I like that. I could accept that. I could accept that intentionality is the focus. We, in there, in my question, I said selfie, I said taking a picture of a tree. I know that there are some people, let's say, like, if we think about maybe a more advanced person or somebody that does photography as a career, they may specialize in different things, right? I could think of, you know, like, portraits in terms of taking pictures of people, landscape photographers, there's wildlife photographers, there are people that do sport, they do journalistic. You know, what do you think is a main difference between it? Is it just like the subject that you work with, and does it require a different eye? I know, you know, people always talk about, like, a photographer's eye, they have the right eye for something. Is it something major that differentiates those types of pictures, or the skill to take those, or is it really like an option of, I just choose to do this?
That's a really good question. So like you said, there are many different genres. I think the common thread between all of them are those elements that I described before. So does it have interesting lines that draw you into the image? Is there an interesting subject that someone can look at? Is there texture in the photo that I'm able to, you know, appreciate? And that spans across the different genres, whether it's landscape or whether it's wildlife. You know, you see, you know, many different photographers out there. Like this, for instance, the ones that take, you know, the safari photos of like different animals and whatnot. Sometimes it's very pulled back and it's a blur between, is this a landscape or is this a wildlife picture? But then you look closer into it and you see pictures of gazelles in the background, and you see pictures of maybe like a lion that you didn't notice before, like laying in the tall grass, you know, and it just is able to create this marriage of form and function where you have different things to look at, you know what I mean, in the picture. So it's a lot of, again, I mean, I'm going to be using this word all the time, intentionality.
Yeah.
Also skill, but you know, once you start applying these different elements, when you start taking pictures, regardless of the genre that you're in, you tend to come out with a product that people can actually enjoy. So like, for instance, let me give one more example. Like the most common thing would be like landscape or like portraits. And you see people taking, so somebody's going to a national park and they take a picture of like a nice mountain or something. Mm-hmm. If you consider, you know, maybe I tilt the camera up a little bit, so there's not much of what's on the floor, but maybe there's a little bit more sky. I'm focusing on the shapes of the peaks of the mountains, right? So there I'm focusing on the shape. I'm focusing on the form. Maybe the sun's reflecting on the mountains and is producing like a really interesting color that is not like, maybe it's not brown, but it's maybe like a goldenish hue that can draw someone in.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that you can, you know, consider. Or same thing if there was a model present in the same scene. You know, you put a model out there with a dress that's contrasting off the background. You have, you know, your lighting considered, where it's coming from, the direction of it, the depth of the picture, how far they are standing away from the mountains. If they're able to have that nice little blur in the background, or if you want it all to be in focus, like how, you know, they're able to stand out, how they're able to complement what's around them. So it's really, once you start applying those rules, or those, I don't want to call it rules, because rules are meant to be broken. I'll call them elements.
Okay.
It really doesn't matter the genre at that point. I think the only thing that differentiates you from someone else would be your style at that point.
But you said some things in there that I like. You said skill and style. You know, I know that some people do photography as hobbies. Sometimes they do it as a career. Can you maybe tell us a little bit more about how those things play in your skill and your style? I like to take pictures. I don't know necessarily if I have a style. I think I have some skill, but, you know, that's to be determined. But yeah, you know, like what would you say those things are? How could you explain that for somebody?
So for me, I think the differentiation between skill and style depends on how well you're able to master the tools that you're using to take the photo. That would be your camera, that would be the light around you, that would be if there's anything else that you're in your disposal that you're trying to use to create the image. And then the style would be what your eye sees, how you're able to envision the final product. And using those elements to create something that's repeatable, that's beautiful for you. So for instance, there are people that engage in, they like minimalist photography. So that would be limited lines, not a lot of elements that are crowding, you know, it could be the tops of buildings and there's a lot of white space. It's just a lot of space to breathe. And it's very graphic that I can clearly differentiate certain shapes or aspects of it, or maybe you might have to look twice, but it's very minimal. There's not much going on in the photo. And that's a style, right? And that's the niche that they choose to live in. The skill would be, how do I take this photo in broad daylight where I know the sun's harsh and it's going to look a certain way? Or if my camera is not able to take pictures in low light, like how do I leverage the light around me or certain angles of things in order to make it work? I think that this, sometimes you hear people say like, oh, he's like really, he has a good eye, he's like really skillful with certain things and whatnot. And sometimes they mix up the two definitions.
Okay, you said lines a lot throughout everything we've been saying. What do you mean by lines?
So lines are literally lines, literally. In
a, like in that a, wall behind you is a line?
Uh-huh. So if you, how do I describe this? So if you look at an image or how I'm framed right now, let's just say this line on, these lines of the curtains coming down, the walls, or these lines from the lamps that are coming down, you can use those elements to draw your eye into the subject of the photo. A way to do that would be, for instance, if you were to photograph someone against a wall and you stand back a little bit and then the converging lines of that image are going to draw your eye into the person where they're standing, and it makes it into a more appealing image. And it also makes it easier for the viewer to understand what's going on. Like we were saying before, art is very, you know, nebulous. Like, you know, sometimes you could understand it, sometimes you don't, but these are just easy ways for you to use some of those elements to guide the viewer to what you want them to see.
Okay. So for the people listening, you know, Ron is in front of like a cream colored wall that has like a pillar somewhere. There's a lamp with a curved thingy. There's a green plant. And then there is like a draped curtains, you know, like hotel curtains. He's wearing a green, like, crew neck in front of the green plant. So it looks very aesthetically pleasing. So if you want to see what his background looks like right now to better understand what we're talking about, you can go and look at the video on YouTube or check out our website. I'll try and put a picture there after. All right, so with regards to that, so for example, if I were to take a picture of someone standing next to a tree, would you then say like the tree trunk that might be, the person might lean their shoulder on the tree trunk, would you consider that a line in the photo?
You know, the silhouette or the outline of the tree, it's considered a line. You know, even where you're sitting, I know, you know, you have these two, that space between the wall and those two panels, whatever it is, like coming down, those are obviously considered lines. You know, so
I did try to get in the middle of it, but I didn't do a very good job. But I was intentional. I was trying to be intentional with what was behind me. So see, I probably have a little something, you know.
Yeah, I just want you to know there's no reasoning behind me sitting in this area. This is the only space that I have, so
fair point. I'll take that. But I mean, I, you know, I figured you are a photographer, you're an artist, maybe, you know, you planned it all. Yeah, I wouldn't hate on that. I wouldn't hate. I appreciate.
Let's go with that. Okay. And let's just believe that was, you know, what the case was.
All right, I will crop everything else out and I'll be like, yeah, you know, he was like so intentional about everything today. Is my top matching my hair on purpose? Maybe not.
Probably.
Okay, so something else I wanted to ask you, like something else in the technical side of it. We talked about lighting a lot, right? There are many people who, let's say, you know, they want to go and their child is graduating from school or they go to some sport function or something. And their camera isn't the best, but there is good light outside. Do you think you always need a really sharp camera to take a good photo? Is there ways you could hack the system?
Yeah, that's a good question as well. I think there are ways. So I'll start by saying this. There has been a movement, I want to say in the, you know, between 2000, I want to say 7 up to recently, where people were saying the best camera that you have is the one that's with you. Mm. Right. And it's essentially to say, focus on moments as opposed to the thing that's the tool that you're using. And that's all that it is, right? Like we only use these tools in order to record our special moments, right? So regardless if it's the iPhone 1 or the iPhone 50 something, you know, you should be able to take a picture that would be a memory. Now, if you're talking about, you know, what camera do I use in different use cases to get the things that I want, for instance, a parent at the, you know, the sporting event for their kid or whatnot, I would just say, hey, use the camera that you have. But if you want to get the best picture with what you have, make sure that there's a lot of light. All right. Now, going back to the basics that we were talking about, obviously, if there's no light, then you're not going to get a picture.
Yeah.
Right. So it's usually better to have more than less. And the camera can sort of, you know, with that, if let's just say it's like a bright sunny day, if there's a lot of light on that day, the camera should be able to, you know, neutralize and bring it down so you have a better image. Pros of that is that the shutter of the camera is able to have enough light where it doesn't have to be open as much to take the image. It can go like this, and you should be able to capture the image quickly if it's like a moving subject or something. If there's no light, then it has to stay open longer for more light to come in, and that's how you get that blurry. Like if you might see pictures like people walking by and they look like ghosts, like because they're blurry, or like, you know, light trails and things like that. So make sure there's a lot of light. So your camera doesn't have to work that hard, layman terms. And then, you know, if you do have the budget to invest in something that, you know, has a faster shutter or is able to, you know, work in low light a little bit better, then, you know, feel free, have at it.
Okay. I am not going to dive into shutter speed and all the intricate parts of cameras, but if somebody wants more information on that, I think, you know, a good Google search, and maybe I'll do another episode all about just cameras sometime. But those are things that just go into the physics of how a camera works, right? Like how fast it will take the photo and things like that.
Yeah, the basic way to understand it, like I said, if you have a lot of light, then you're going to get a good image. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Okay. And what about when light spoils an image? What about that? Because I know it does happen sometimes. Like, I'm sitting under a light right now, and like, if it was lighting, they talk about it in like hot, right? Like, if it was too hot, or if it was too bright, or if it was too much light, it could have messed up this in a sense where you couldn't really see my face properly. So, what should they look out for in terms of like, if someone is trying to take a good picture and there's a lot of light, like, what is too much light?
So, I'll answer it by saying this. So I think for me, it has to do with the direction and the quality, right? So obviously light comes in different temperatures and whatnot. So there's blue light, you know, your fluorescent lights in your office versus your lamp that's a little bit orange looking, or, you know, warm. So warm versus cool. So that would be the quality of the light. And that obviously affects how you look. If you're under a golden looking light, then you're going to look a lot more orange. If you're under a blue light, you know, you're going to look a little bit more cold. Yeah. Right. So that's one. And then the direction of where it's coming from. So let's just say, so I have a light right here. As you can see, like this side of my face is lit. And if I were to move it, I start looking a little bit weird. Right. Mm-hmm. The lights behind me, it's using the lights from the house lights. And I don't look flattering at all. So if I start moving it back, this way, I start getting a lot more flattering image, yeah. Right? And even better yet, if I were to take the house lights off totally, then I'm able to stand out a little bit more. So that would be direction. Now, if I were to have this not coming from the side, but totally in front of me, then I'm going to look totally different. Mm-hmm. So it really just depends on the direction of the light. Like I was saying, you know, it gives the image a different mood. I would, you know, if you want something that has a little bit of drama, you could light from the side instead of lighting from the front, where it's a little bit more flat. It's a safe, lighting it from the front is not bad. It's very safe to do if you don't have any options. But if you look at movies and things like that, you'll see, you know, a lot of them being lit from the side or from the back or from, you know, places that can give you some shadow on the face and stuff like that. So that would differentiate you from someone who, you know, just started and just like turned their house lights on.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I think that was a great mini tutorial. I love that. So definitely, if you are only listening to this, you should go check out the video because it was cool. Okay. So I guess if we think about now, what people do with pictures after it comes out, you know, everybody has social media, everybody has access to a website if they wanted. Photography has become, I guess, more than just memory capturing, but a lot of storytelling. I feel like people use pictures to, you know, show the world who they are, who they want to be. When you think about how photography has evolved over the years, like at our age, we grew up with the film cameras. There was also Polaroids back then, in terms of like the actual, like what you see, but recently everything is digital. Mm-hmm. I think you have to work very hard to get like an actual printed photo. I can't tell you last time I printed a photo. So what can you say, or what in your view has been, I guess, the benefits or not so much benefits of the digital trend that has become now going from like, say, film cameras to digital cameras to phone cameras?
I would say the benefits is accessibility. It's easier to obtain a camera, a really good camera right now. Like everybody has, you know, I keep going back to mention, you know, the phones, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody has a phone, you know, iPhone, Android, whatever, and they have amazing cameras in them that are capable of things that, you know, some professional cameras don't have. I think that the ability for you to be able to make a mistake and take another photo, that's a huge value that, you know, I think is kind of taken for granted now, just because it's just commonplace at this point. You know, mm-hmm. One of the days where you only had a certain amount of snaps on your film, and then once it's done, you rewind that and put that back in your pocket, you know. Yeah. So, you know, there's that benefit as well. And then, you know, low light capabilities and cameras and the smaller form factors that you're able to get now, where you can have a really high powered camera, but it be in the palm of your hand. Like, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. I think the differences between, you know, now and then in terms of cons are, you know, people aren't taking, I'm going to say the word again, right? People aren't taking these photos with intention. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're limited, you have to think about what you're going to take. You know, you have six more snaps on that roll of film. You have to be like, okay, do I really want to take a picture of this? And if I do, then how do I wait for the right moment, set it up correctly, and then take the shot? So when I go to develop this, I actually have something that's a tangible memory, mm-hmm. or something that I can, you know, use. As I say, I'm a professional and I shot film back then, you know, something that I'll be able to use for my client. You don't have the luxury of just snapping 10 pictures of the same thing and then moving on, and then you push your card in.
Yeah.
I think that's a major con. And I think, you know, depending on who you talk to, if you talk to like purists and things, they'll say, you know, oh, it's very cheap. You know, it kind of cheapened the art. you know, and people aren't taking it seriously anymore. Like back then, printing was like a big thing because that's all you had to do, right? You know, in order for you to get your picture, you had to print it, go into the dark room, throw your chemicals and develop it, and, you know, use your projector to make it bigger if you needed to. So, you know, if you fast forward a couple of years later, then, you know, digital came out, but printing was still a thing. Like, you know, you had these billboards, you had these art galleries, and, you know, that was before the social media age where people could just hop on their phones and scroll through and see your work, right? Even when I was learning photography, I learned film in a dark room, and then I graduated to digital, and we did these large prints, and we had, you know, print critiques and things like that. So I appreciate a lot of what the art had to offer back then. You know, it's very simple, but it gave you a sense of appreciation for those that didn't have a lot and had to do a lot with a little. Right. Yeah. But I also do appreciate the fact that I can now, you know, take my camera, shoot a campaign, switch it to video mode, shoot a 4K, you know, quality video for social media after I edit it down in a week and send it to a client. Like, that's amazing to me, you know? Yeah. So, you know, I think as long as, you know, as we have these tools at our disposal, like, that we truly step back, take a little bit of time to understand, like, okay, am I actually creating a good image? With intention. You know, am I actually, you know, thinking about this artistically, or am I just, you know, snapping something just for snapping its sake?
Yeah. Well, I think this is a good time to transition into learning more about you and how you became, you know, somebody that does photography. So yeah, going back in the day, you talked about, you know, you started with film. I always wanted to go to one of those dark rooms. I never had the chance to, though. But can you tell us, you know, how did you get into photography? Was it something you were introduced to? Did you just, you know, develop a hobby and ran with it? Like, tell us your story. How did you get to this point?
Okay, so I kind of stumbled into it, to be honest with you. This is way back. So for CXC, I did art as one of my subjects. So I used to draw and paint and stuff like that. I was always drawing and painting. I was heavily into the arts. I'm also a musician. So I play keys and I've been involved in bands and stuff. So that creative side has always been there. Coming out of that, you know, doing art for CXC and things like that, I didn't know that was going to be essentially a career path that was leading to photography. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a pilot. I wanted to do aviation. Flying was my thing. I, you know, was heavily into, you know, if you remember Microsoft Flight Simulator. I used to have like a computer back home, and I was like, you know, had yoke and pedals and stuff. And that was my jizz. Like, I love traveling. And, you know, obviously you're from Trinidad too. So, you know, like the only way you're getting off the island is either by boat or by plane, right? So you have to fly, right? So, you know, I always had these big dreams of, you know, becoming a commercial pilot and, you know, flying to these, you know, gorgeous destinations and things like that. And that was the plan up until I was going to college in CUC. So that's where I attended. And someone handed me a camera at an event. And something happened that, you know, I don't know what button it pressed or if it was something that unlocked, like, new achievement unlocked. But, like, I felt something that was like, ah, this is actually really cool, you know? And the fact that they actually trusted me to hold their camera, it was like a digital camera, back in the day, lots of money. And they were just like, yeah, just take that and go on. And they disappeared. And I'm here with this camera, just taking random pictures and filling their memory card up. Anyways, so I think me just spending time with it, being able to walk around and take, you know, a bunch of photos at different events and at church and across campus where I lived and in Maracas and stuff like that, it was just, you know, therapeutic. Mm. It was a breath of fresh air. And I just kind of unlocked like a different side of my creative vein or whatever. I just unlocked that just by having the tool. I think as that grew, you know, I left CUC and I went to Michigan and Andrews University to pursue aviation. And I realized that my Trini dollars wasn't going to stretch as far between, you know, flight time and, you know, getting, you know, all of these different things that I needed to get. It was going to be a lot more expensive than I thought. So then I was like, okay, well, I've been working in, you know, my mom used to be the marketing director at University of Southern Caribbean. And I was exposed to all of these different things, you know, graphic design and, you know, creating all these things. I was dabbling in Photoshop and all that from early. So I was like, you know, what if I try to do this as a career? So graphic design ended up being my my main core focus. And then there were photography classes and web design classes. I enrolled in all three. I think they created like a custom degree or something like that. I didn't even know you could do that. So I did all of those when I was at school. And, you know, I remember my first photography class, intro to photography, in very interesting class. And it was all film. They gave us these film cameras. It was a Nikon FM2. I still have it to this day. Back at home, you know, we had these different assignments. We were shooting on Ilford film. It was like a black and white film, you know, and we were studying the history of it, how, you know, cameras were created, obviously, and then like what it takes to take a good image and whatnot. And we were going around campus with these things and it's filling up the film and winding and like having to ask my friends to be models and stuff like that. It was great. Enjoyed it fully. And then, you know, it graduated from that to, you know, advanced class, learning how to go into the darkroom and develop and creating all of these different, you know, obviously you can't Photoshop in a darkroom, but like, you know, exposing it longer for it to be darker or giving it less light for it to be lighter and like, you know, blocking off certain areas, double exposure, all these things. You know, it was such a joy to learn. And I spent a lot of my time doing that. So once I graduated from college, I had met some friends while I was in college there, and I was shooting weddings with them. Shout out to Scroll Vision, Lyle Daniel. He's also Trini, really great. And yeah, so I used to shoot weddings with him, and I kind of got used to, you know, working around that space, thinking on my feet really quickly. That kind of opened my eyes to that part of photography where, you know, events are concerned. And then I came back to Trinidad and I opened my first photography business. I had that point, I had bought one of my friend's cameras, and then I ended up making enough money that I can buy my own. Mm-hmm. And I was doing weddings in Trinidad for about 4 years. And that time, you know, it was just great being able to, you know, meet all these different people and, you know, kind of re-immerse myself after being away. I met a couple of really great friends as a result, Melford and Isaac. He also used to shoot weddings with me. And he really great fashion photographer, portrait photographer, like love that guy to death. And, you know, amongst a couple other people. So, you know, that was my staple between those 4 years. And then when I moved back to the US, I started doing a lot more portraiture, commercial, and now I'm working in the hospitality and hotel space as well too. It's been quite a journey, I would say, you know, from wanting to fly to now just using the planes to fly to different areas to take pictures. So it's, you know, I feel like I'm still winning in a way, but yeah, it's been really interesting. I'd say it's something that also held me down. So my parents got separated in between, you know, my college experiences and stuff. So having the ability to, you know, just walk out, go out and, you know, use photography and my camera as a therapeutic tool was huge for me. And it helped me to sort of escape from the world around me and to be able to, you know, create these images out of that pain.
Yeah.
So I think that was something that was really impactful for me and something that kind of makes it, you know, So it's very special for me, I'd say.
Well, I mean, I see your pictures a lot on social media, right? And I have to say, like, I would not have asked you to come and talk to me about photography if your photos weren't great. They are pretty cool photos, even the videos and stuff that you do. I see all the intention in it. I thought, you know, hearing you say that it was also something that was kind of therapeutic for you, I thought hearing that was like really profound and just nice to know that, you know, you found something that could help you through a difficult time, and it was creating art, right? Photography is art at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing that, for sure. You talked about like the different things that you progressed into. Do you think you have a particular focus, or you are more like really good from a general angle, and then you just bring your style to it? Like, maybe you could tell us what your style is, and then if you have any like specialties, you would say.
I dabble in a lot of different things. I'm blessed to have a lot of different friends in different subgenres of, you know, just the creative community. So like, I have friends in hospitality, I have friends that are musicians, I have friends that are in the corporate design space, and they need like commercial photography for certain things. I also did mention that I am a design manager. Well, I didn't mention that, but I am a design manager at a company as well, a design firm based in Virginia. So I often have to think along those lines when it comes to, you know, where I want to live. So I just keep myself very diverse. Mm-hmm. I don't try. Some people say, oh, I'm just solely a wildlife photographer, this is all that I do. But mm-hmm. I tend to span a lot of those different spaces, just because I feel like there's value in diversity. And I'm also someone that gets bored really quickly doing the same things. Yeah. So there's that part. You know, I sometimes I'm like, okay, I've shot models today. Like, let me go out and like just shoot, you know, something that's serene. So like, we go take a walk on the Baltimore Pier and take, you know, pictures out on the waterfront, or you know, something that's like a product or something. I don't know. Like, I that's just me. I just like to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah. What about? Do you think you have a particular style, or?
I don't know. People say that, you know, my pictures are, they use like clean, you know, sharp. I've heard sharp before. I've heard aesthetic. What does aesthetic really mean? I think for me though, I do love a clean aesthetic. I do love a clean look. I do like, I don't like a lot of, you know, clutter. I do love my pictures to tell a story, regardless of what it is, whether it's still life, whether it's through, you know, a product. It could be a product on a table, but I like to juxtapose it with different elements nearby, so it can give a sense of context of where this might be taking place, or, you know, if this is a experience that someone wants to experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to use interesting lighting. I like to use, you know, shadows a lot to tell stories.
I know that I've noticed. Yeah.
So I'll say that's my style. You know, it's gotten to the point where some people could actually see it and be like, oh, that's you, you know? So I'm happy about that. I mean, means I've found something that's, you know, repeatable. So, you know, I'm happy about that.
Okay. So if we have someone who is interested, you know, they listen to us today, or maybe they have been taking photos and they had intention all along, like, you know, they've been like, you know, I really want to capture this, I want to do that. Let's say somebody wants to get into photography with intention. You know, what are some things you would advise them to do, no matter what they might have access to? Like, how would you say to get into developing their interest in photography?
Yeah, this might sound very cliche, but just go shoot. Just shoot. You know, you're never going to get better at something if you, you know, don't do the thing and put the sweat hours in. You know, by taking those, you know, colloquially, those L's, right? By taking those L's, you're going to learn a lot. You know, I usually tell people that ask me about, you know, the same question, asking like, yo, go take your phone, and, you know, put yourself in different lighting situations and just observe the differences between those pictures and what you like, right? And then you're able to be like, okay, I know at this time of day, I know in this spot, I know next to this window, I'm going to look this way, you know, and whatever I take at that point, it's going to be consistent, right? So yeah. That way you're able to not just find like a, you know, and that's your style, right? You're not able to just like discover your style and discover something that you find aesthetically pleasing, but then you're able to repeat it.
Yeah.
And then once you figure out how that works, you're able to figure out how to take that setup and put it in different situations, right? So I know like, okay, the light's going to come from this direction. If I go into a studio, can I replicate that? Yes. You know, so I say just, you know, explore, keep shooting a lot, use the tools that you have, your phone. If you have a camera, if you're blessed to have a camera, then you know, use that. Also, I would say do some homework and learn how your camera actually works. Yeah. That's huge. You know, I haven't seen a carpenter, you know, buy new equipment, not know how it works. Like they buy a new saw and they're like, ah, I wish I knew. You know, like, you know, you put some time into learning how the tools that you buy work, and how it can make your life a little bit easier and how it could improve the pictures that you're able to produce. I think that's just a general rule in life. Mm-hmm. And you know, if it's something that you're passionate about, then obviously you're going to put the time in because you like doing it. But it's easier to like it when you're actually intentionally doing it and you're seeing growth.
Okay.
So that requires you to do it.
Okay.
Regardless.
Fair point. Study. Practice, and then maybe find maybe like somebody to work with, like maybe a mentor or a more experienced person, right? Yeah. Because if they want to grow this hobby into like a career, then they're going to need like to actually get professional experience and all that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would be ideal. The only reason I wouldn't mention it is because, you know, a lot of people have access. Yeah. To someone. And you know, sometimes in the art community people could be very you know, not forthcoming with information, which I try not to do. I don't want to gatekeep anything. Mm-hmm. Because when I was growing up there were people that would gatekeep information and would not want to share certain things, and they don't want to tell you the settings and you know how things work because they feel like you're going to steal, you know.
Like there's not billions of things to photograph.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, everyone's style is, even if there's similarities between styles, like the way that I would approach a photo versus someone else is, it's always going to be different. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think there isn't a reason to do that at all. You know, I try to, anybody that comes to me to ask a question, whether it be on Instagram or something, I try to respond and, you know, give them those tips because I wasn't able to get that a lot when I was just first starting. Later on I did, but I think it's vital. But for those that don't have that, we're in the age of YouTube University and there's so much resources out there at your disposal, you know, Coursera, Udemy. I started off learning online with this photographer called Chase Jarvis. He has this platform called Creative Life, and he will bring these industry professionals on to teach these master classes and things like that. So I had bought a couple of them back when I was learning, and that's where I learned, you know, lighting and how to work in a studio and, you know, finance. How to pitch to businesses, things like that. So, you know, it all goes into what I was saying before, yeah, you know, practice, but also that time that you put in and the resources that you buy is always going to be a positive investment. So,
yeah. Well, thank you for that. I think that's some really helpful information for people. And you know, they could always follow you on social media as well. So, Ron, I could ask a million more questions about this. And I know photography is a subject that, you know, people could talk about for hours. There's like so much things that goes into it. But I don't want to, you know, keep you all day. I want to thank you so much for sharing about your passion and something that you are so good at. I hope everyone takes some time to go see some of your pictures, what you have out on social media, and maybe your website. I will share links to those things. But yeah, just big thank you. If you want to say hello to anyone, now is the time, or you can just, you know, close us out today.
Oh, I think I shouted out everyone that I needed to shout out. But yeah, thank you so much, Samantha, for having me. This is quite an experience, and I do hope that, you know, people are able to take away something from this. You know, if you do hit me up on social media, you know, feel free to ask me any questions, and, you know, just keep shooting.
Awesome. Thank you.
Don't forget to share this episode with someone else who could benefit from hearing about it. You can also engage with us on social media, and you can find all links on our website. See you at the next one.